My name is Patrick McNamee King. I'm 35. Today is the 27th of October. We're in Brooklyn, New York. I'm speaking with Patty Devery, who is my friend and colleague.
I'm Patty Devery. I'm 40 years old. Today is October 27th, 2023, and I'm in Brooklyn, New York at StoryCorps' headquarters. And I'm here with Patrick McNamee King, who is my friend and coworker.
How did you get into archives?
I was an education major. I was a music education major, and I sort of found myself really distracted while I was student teaching by the other avenues that were happening around me in the schools. And I was sort of thinking like, ooh, if I'm like looking around and being like, maybe I want to be a classroom teacher. Maybe I want to be a resource librarian. Maybe I shouldn't be a music teacher. Like immediately embarking on this career while looking at all of the other avenues around me. So I took some time and sort of settled on librarianship and moved to New York with the idea of going to library school, which didn't happen for 10 years just because of New York living. And I had like a grand idea of paying off my undergraduate student loans, which still has not happened. and then eventually like had a couple of situations and a job that sort of pushed me into making a decision that was like, I can't do this anymore. I should go do the thing I want to do. And in looking at what was offered, I found myself more interested in the archives track classes, whereas I thought maybe I would have been leaning towards children's librarian just because of that like educational background that I had. Which would still be super fun. But I think that was like the 23-year-old me choice, and then this was like the 35-year-old me choice.
Can you tell me about the New York living decade?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I don't think I know much about this.
Sure. Well, I moved to New York just to be in New York. I still didn't know what I wanted to do, though I was leaning towards, you know, librarianship. And I got a job, my friend got me a job working like nights, like evening shifts, like 7:30 to 3-ish, at a market research company, that tracked people's reactions and retention of commercials that they watched during television. So my first job, I just watched TV. You'd like get assigned a channel. They'd be like, tonight you're on Bravo. And then you'd just watch like a Queer Eye marathon for 5 hours and log which commercials happened during the show. And if you'd search a database, I was actually creating metadata before I knew what that was. I'd search this database. And if it existed already, I'd log it. And if it didn't exist, if it was a new commercial, I'd create new metadata for it and enter it into the database. And then surveys were written about those questions or those commercials for people to fill out online and like win prizes if they got them right and were like, you know, this was a Ford commercial or whatever.
Bonkers.
It was. And then I got switched to daytime and I was like editing the questions that were about the commercials and all of that. That was a situation where the decision was made for me. It was like eventually became very soul sucking.
Yeah.
I find that the line between demographics and racism is very blurry, and it weighed on me at a certain point being in that like marketing side of things. And then I got laid off. So great.
So you just. I'm just envisioning like lots of Broadway shows.
At that time, not so many because I didn't have very much money, but I was definitely utilizing like student pricing because I still had my college student ID, which had no dates on it. And I'm blessed with a youngish looking constitution. So I could still easily pass as a college student. That's also when I started doing improv. Which was a lot of fun, but also very expensive.
Really?
Yeah, it's a scam.
Weird, yeah. Because it doesn't... I'm not going to... Yeah.
Go ahead.
I don't know how to... No, I don't... I know how to say what
I... Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a scam that you, like, willingly participate in because it's super, super fun. But basically, you sign up to do classes, which cost money, which is fine. But then the theater where you can audition to perform at doesn't pay their performers.
Right.
And on top of that, if you're on one of those teams, for example, you rehearse even though it's improv, but yeah. You practice making things up so that you can get chemistry and get better at making things up. And so you pay for rehearsal space, you pay for a coach, and then you go and perform and you don't get paid for your performance. So it's all just out of pocket.
That's what I was kind of trying to formulating is it seems like a fun, scrappy, from my perception, low budget thing to do, but clearly there's resources involved.
Well, yeah. And certainly not New York City. And then I was doing musical improv, which is another layer because we also paid an accompanist who was part of the group, but not really part of the group and a skilled worker, I'll say. So yeah. We paid them for their skill. I can't sit at a piano and make up a melody to this nonsense musical that we're making up right on the spot.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, though. I miss it. I'm curious if I tried to do it again, how rusty I would be. But it was a lot of fun, and I made a lot of really good friends who I'm still friends with, who also aren't doing improv anymore.
Which happens in... I've heard the word cult as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you can make some good cult friends, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, specifically, I did Upright Citizens Brigade, which has sort of a cultish vibe around it. You can get real deep into it because there is especially at that time, there were big names coming out of it. So Donald Glover did UCB and Bobby Moynihan, who then went on to SNL, a few people that it was just really quote unquote hot right then. Mm. And so there were people who were focused. It sort of was what Second City was in the 90s, where that was Phil Hartman and Michael Myers, I almost said, Michael Myers. And so it just, I didn't ever really think that I was going to get to that point. So I didn't dive in as far.
To the villain aspect?
the villain aspect to turn into, Halloween Michael Myers.
I still haven't seen that movie. Is it probably not, Probably move on.
I don't remember when I saw it as a child. My best friend when I was little, Deanna, her parents would record all the scary movies off of TV, and they would cut out the swear words and the sex, but leave in the violence.
Very interesting. That's a lot of work too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
And we would watch them.
Not in camera editing, but in DVR, TiVo, gotcha.
A VCR, you pause the recording, and then you let the show plays, but the recording is paused, and then you unpause the recording, and it picks up where it left off. I used to do that with when NSYNC was on TV shows.
Oh, just to record them?
Yeah, just to record their part on the American Movie Award, Music Awards, or whatever.
Did you watch musicals growing up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you?
No. I played in musicals, right? And I think that kind of fostered my aversion to them.
Bummer.
Yeah.
What did you play in? In the pit in high school?
Yeah, I played in pits. Yeah. I feel like any musicianship class I was in, it was going to be 50% musical theater people and just a very different vibe.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. And I don't know, I was kind of morose was after different composers and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
So
what did you listen to around that time? High school?
Shostakovich, yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. I feel so lucky. I had teachers who were you're an angsty teenager, check out Shostakovich. Mm-hmm. This is a middle finger to Stalin,
yeah.
Beethoven's Opus 95 quartet. My field teacher was he's saying fuck you to God. That doesn't get more hardcore than that, so I felt lucky. I got exposed to even though I didn't know how to really tap into it, because your range of emotions and experiences is limited at that age, that there were people who were kind of setting like the foreshadowing of like being able to understand and express experience through art.
Yeah, and like meeting you where you were. Like it's not helpful to be like, no, listen to, you know, Vivaldi's Four Seasons when you're like, I'm not there right now.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah. And I got really into American minimalism at some point. Mm-hmm. I feel like that kind of set the stage for like a lot of just like the music I've made ever since, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you play?
Viola.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I still do play viola.
Can you still read alto clef? Well, yeah, you Absolutely. Can if you still play viola.
You know what's so funny though? I played with my sisters at my dad's funeral last year, and we I realized I haven't read music in like 10 years.
Ah.
Like it's not that I haven't played music. It's just, right. It's been like a thing through like feel. And yes, when I play music with people, it's such a different experience from how I learned. It's like playing off of each other, mm-hmm. and like learning by sight and sound. But I guess I always did that. Like I also play fiddle music.
Right. That's right.
Got into that when I was like maybe like 10 or something. And that was just like through hearing, mm-hmm. and playing back. So it's interesting. Like when the structure I gravitated towards is, you know, kind of, you know, mirrored my like disdain for academia.
I am also I'm not great at reading music.
Yeah.
I started taking piano lessons in eighth grade so that I could read music better, because mm-hmm. I was in choir.
Oh yeah.
And essentially to make myself like a better musician, because I'm unfortunately pretty like a bad example of a vocalist. Like I don't count. You know, it's like I listen by ear.
Yeah.
But I know that I wanted to make myself a stronger musician. And that's something I'd like to get back to. I'd like to get back to lessons.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Yeah,
for voice?
Voice and piano,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My friend Joel was teaching me piano for a while, which was a lot of fun. I'd like to find someone. He's very busy now. He's a child. but who taught me like him, where it was like, sort of like your teachers meeting you where you mm-hmm. wanted to be. I was like, Joel, I don't want to play piano. I want to be able to play for myself while I'm singing, to practice, or maybe even to perform at some point, but really just like functional piano, not like, and yeah, you need the scales and you mm-hmm. need the finger, like the fingerings to be able to do that on some level. But so it was like just a much more different experience in those lessons that I found.
Yeah.
Like way more useful than like play this piece over and over again until you don't get that one note wrong.
Right, right. Oh, I think that's like, it's such a shame. I mean, in any form of education, it seems really prevalent, but like with music as well, this like, this perfectionism or mm-hmm. this like ideal that like really, I don't know. I don't think a lot of people like question like where that ideal comes from, but like it can be really damaging to like young people's psyches, you know?
Absolutely. I think that's also why I didn't go harder into piano, because I'm not super great at it, and I hated not doing it well.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Oh God, I just had like a nightmare flashback to when I was student teaching and I had to accompany people what's it called? Solo and ensemble. Did you ever do solo and ensemble?
I got a little kicked out of that, but yeah. Yeah.
Well, I would like to hear that story in a minute. But I had to play the same song but in two different keys for people.
Yeah.
And it was like a nightmare. I never accompanied anyone, and it was like these kids are like banking on being able to say that they did well in this competition on their like college applications.
Right.
And I'm like, I survived it. And so did they, but it was terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's the worst. But do you sight read it, or do you get to like,
no, practice I practiced it and I knew it, but also like the same song in two different keys that like fucked with my head.
Yeah.
I was like, I can barely use the pedal here. Wait, what do you mean you got kicked out of solo and ensemble?
No, like I got in a fight with a music teacher. And,
oh, I see.
And he was just very vindictive. And so I didn't get like kicked out. I was just like, he was just like, you can't do this for the rest of your career. And I was like, all right.
Your career.
Piss off, yeah.
It's really stupid calling high school a career.
I know. And like who are these people who like lord over children and like get off on like, I don't know. I clearly have unprocessed.
I yelled at my music teacher and my choir teacher also because he tried to make me scat. And I did not want to scat. Mm-hmm. That's like that perfection control thing where I was like, I'm not at a place where I can just do this right now.
Yeah.
And then he went to jail, so.
Went to jail?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he had relationships with students.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That's.
So I feel like I came out on the better end with that.
For sure, yeah. For sure. I'm glad you didn't scat. All right, what else do we want to talk about today?
I don't remember how it came up or when it came up, but we both very quickly realized that we were raised Catholic, which the themes of what we've been talking about, perfectionism, mm-hmm. and, you know, really, really filters into that a lot.
Yeah.
I know that that's where a lot of my like guilt issues come from. Like, what was your, because also I know you moved around a bit when you were a kid. So what was your, like, church experience like?
Yeah, in Korea, like, anybody who had, like, some, was it, yeah, I the, no, it was, there was, the school I went to was a Christian school.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, like, I think a lot of, like, evangelical-minded people. And so, like, the Catholics were this, like, kind of weird minority,
mm-hmm.
and the teachers all lived at the school, so I lived at the school because my parents were teachers.
Ah.
And so, yeah, we would just like meet in like an auditorium. I don't know, it was cool. Like we just like bounced around, and so I mean, I didn't have like an awareness of being like explicitly Catholic at that point until like maybe when I like moved to the States. And we started going to like a Catholic church.
Interesting.
And I had, yeah, I mean, even as like, obviously as a kid, like you have issues with that, but yeah. What was your experience?
It's Brooklyn, baby. You know, I don't know, day one baptism and then church.
Yeah.
Church. I went to Catholic school K-8. And we were at church every Sunday. That's where I was actually, first saw musical theater because we actually had a pretty good, like legit, community theater.
Yeah.
And that's where I first did shows, and saw shows too, and, was in the choir. So, you know, just like anyone else started singing in church, and very quickly, I don't know, it was Catholic school, so it was small. By the time I graduated, it was like 76 people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was ready to be done, not I wasn't exploring my own thoughts yet, but just sort of being like, these are all the same people that I've been with since kindergarten. And then I went to public high school, and it was a little like, oh, wait, but also there are other, like, religions that people have and other ways of thinking. And, I mean, I'm a good kid. So they gave me a rule book of what to do to continue to be a good kid when I was there.
Yeah.
And I did it. Like,
you mean like, in public school or in Catholic school?
No, in Catholic school, like you want me to say these things and repeat them back to you. I could just repeat them back to you.
Yeah.
That's great. That's so easy. I don't even have to think about it. I'll just say it back to you. But at the same time, like thinking I really believed it without actually thinking about it.
I was gonna ask, like, I know we complain or, like, you know, speak negatively about that a lot, but, like, were there any points in your life where you, like, really embraced that, like, anything about that Catholicism?
I don't think so, honestly. I mean, I like I do find comfort in the tradition of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like any other human, I like, you know, we're creatures of habit. There's familiarity. That's nice.
Yeah.
Of course, now they've changed all the things that you say. Do you know this?
I did not know
this. The script has been updated.
God.
And like now you say, what? P peace be with you. And instead of saying like, and also with you, say, you say like, and into your house, or weird. I don't know. It's very weird.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense. It's like they're, I feel like my aunts who were mad about Vatican II.
Yeah.
Like, why can't it just be in Latin? But I mean, honestly, no.
Yeah.
Like I sort of had this realization in college where I was trying to figure out if and what I did believe, and I sort of came to understand that the questions, specifically not Catholicism, but that like religion answers for people, mm-hmm. I didn't need answers to. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know if this bums anyone out or is, it doesn't create an existential problem for me, but I don't think there is a purpose for us being here. I think the meaning is that this world exists and there are other people in it and we're sentient creatures, so we should be cognizant of that. But aside from the comfort and familiarity of the ritual, no, man.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think that's funny. Cause I think I like from like being very, very young have like been someone like hungry for answers, you know? Like as a kid, before I had conceptions of religion or anything like that. So I think there was a point in my life where like, between like ages of like 10 and 13 or something where like, I really did embrace that. In that, like, I think I recognized it as like a tool that people use. And that was like, let me kind of experiment with this. And, but like that was like also I feel like around the point in my life where like I started reading Camus and like that definitely like shifted thinking at that point. And so it was not long lived.
Uh-huh.
But I do remember like really, really loving like architecture of churches and cathedrals and like I remember like my family like we spent some time in the British Isles and like I really, really loved the architecture and I can't, and like the smell of like damp stones and stuff like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. It was weird, but like, I really, really loved that.
Yeah. I went to an Anglican service and I was very much like these fake ass Catholics. Like you could see the beats. It's the same, you know,
right.
It's like the same thing, but they're like, JK, we can get divorced.
Right.
Yeah. I do like, I mean, sociologically, and certainly now there was a time when it wasn't so respectful, but now with great respect of like going to other services and just seeing what, like what other people believe. I know those questions and I know why people want answers to those questions. And there was a time where I wasn't as respectful for people's need for those answers.
I remember I had a friend who took me to like a, I don't know what wound up happening, but I wound up getting like saved in like a born again church.
Oh.
Like, but like, it was from like, I was a teenager.
Yeah.
It was like very much from a, like, what is this place?
You just said yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like ostensibly some like field day, like a bunch of games and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then it was like, okay, we're gonna have a quick service, and it like turned into several hours, and then like they were like, who wants to get saved? And I was like, me. Yeah.
And were you just like leaning in?
Yeah. Like I wasn't, it was just kind of like a, like, how far does this go kind of thing, you know?
Interesting. That's where a lot of my cynicism came from, was from those like mega churches.
Yeah.
There's specifically one that's by my house that a lot of kids in my high school went to. And the aggressiveness with which they would try to get people to come was extremely off-putting.
Yeah, yeah.
In a way that I don't really understand, and I'm not even going to say, they'll come at you with like, well, it's because I'm worried about your soul.
Right.
But I'm like, don't worry about my soul. Aren't you not supposed to worry about it? I'm supposed to worry about it. You say that God should worry about it.
Mm.
I know what God is. Like, I know what the deal is. I know what the Bible is. I know what I'm supposed to do based on everything I've heard.
There must be like, cause that's like such a thing. There must be like a percentage of folks who like really need to hear whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like for whom like that's clearly an attack that still is in the playbook. You
yeah,
know?
That's another. Speaking of you, like being saved, like reframing, I need to do better with, because I, like, adult baptism inherently is like, it's unsettling to me. But like, what's weirder, baptizing a baby who has no choice in the matter, or like an adult weighing all their options and choosing to commit themselves to a specific faith? That's like a lot of reframing that I've been trying to do, to like not immediately hear that and be like, ugh.
Yeah, you can feel what you feel.
I'm just trying not to be an asshole.
Aren't we all a kind of, like, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, I hope so. Isn't that the point, right? Do unto others, right?
Right, exactly.
Boils exactly. down to it.
And, so let's see what else we got.
Sure.
Is there anything else that you wanted to cover about Catholicism?
Oh, God. I mean, is there anything that you, like, retain from it?
I don't think there's anything I retain from it, per se. No. I mean, I remember I was big into, I really enjoyed Augustine, but like, I enjoyed the saints, but like as characters, I feel like not as, you know,
I enjoy sending you a St. Patrick's Day message of happy feast day.
Yeah, right? Exactly. The feast days. Yeah. Yeah.
I will say that was a nice thing. I lived in, not to be one of those people, I lived in Madrid for a while, and they, all the days off, all the, like everything's a feast day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is great. I should live in a Catholic country. Except not.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember in Peru, I got a lot of days off.
Right.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
And when it was like the, you know, a number of the neighborhoods are named after different saints.
Oh,
so when it was like the feast of like your neighborhood saint, it was like a 2 or 3 week party, you know?
Nice.
It was a lot of fun.
That's fun. I guess that's an aspect of Catholicism that is interesting, and that actually other Christian denominations aren't about. And that's sort of like the democratization. It's a weird way to put it, but like of deities, like where humans do have the ability to become.
Oh yeah,
you know,
that is interesting.
Like saints,
yeah.
Where in, you know, there's like the gospel writers and Mary and like Joseph, and that's it. You know?
Right. Wait, those are saints and other Christian.
Uh-huh. Okay, like gotcha. Lutheran churches are all like Saint Paul, Saint Mark.
Oh, right, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we got a saint for like every.
I know.
Every conceivable.
Saint Lawrence is the patron saint of archives.
No way.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
What's going on there?
I don't know. And librarians.
And librarians. Yeah.
I don't know. All I know is that when I found out, I told my mom, because I know she would want to pray to Saint Lawrence. Aww. For me.
So your family.
Yeah, specifically my parents.
Yeah.
Still, my sister's not so much.
Yeah.
Either. Yeah.
Huh.
But they also, I don't know. My parents are relaxing into it a little bit.
Yeah.
They feel like they've done their time. Like they don't go to church every Sunday. Yeah. I think, you know.
Was there any like, because you said your family's Irish.
Yeah.
Too. Was there like a cultural aspect to that?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Definitely. And it's one of the bummers, I think, that society hasn't created any sort of non, like a secular analog to the community that churches can build.
You don't think so?
I don't think, not as sort of...
a pickleball club or
maybe
something?
Maybe pickleball's like, getting up there. That's, yeah, maybe pickleball.
Yeah.
I don't think as wide-reaching.
Yeah, that's fair.
There's
yeah.
lots of little pockets,
yeah.
you know.
You find your community.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, I'm just thinking of where I could go to, like, once a week and see the same people.
Right.
You know, besides the grocery store, and it's like the lady working the meat counter, and we're not friends.
Yeah.
She works there.
That's a question too. Have you found community in your new-ish place? Are you interested in community? I feel like that interest kind of tapers for some people. Yeah, you are.
To a point, you're right. I mean, I don't know how much I'd seek it, and it would be of what is interesting to me. Like, I think we have a little community in our neighborhood. Like, we're friendly with some of our neighbors. We're not quite friends with them yet, and maybe we won't be, but that's all right. I would like to, and I've looked around, I would like to join a choir. I miss being in a choir. Yeah. And actually, the church that's right next to StoryCorps has had a choir, and, like, I was thinking about joining it, and then COVID happened.
Oh, no.
So I don't know if it still exists. There are some out there. I got to find one that might work for my schedule and that also is not associated with a church. I'm fine with singing religious music. I sing songs, you sing music about things that you can relate to without actually believing in all the time. So also that's the majority of material from, the pre-industrial world.
Is religious music?
Yeah.
Get some motets. Mm-hmm. Going.
Requiems.
Yeah. Requiems.
Gotta love a requiem. You were just talking about community.
I was,
yeah. You've sort of floated here and there, and now you're... How do you feel about rebuilding that community potentially here in Brooklyn?
I don't know. I feel like honestly, the first time in my life I have some semblance of community, and it's unfortunate that it's in New York. I don't know. It's cool. I feel like it feels like really like the relationships and the people feel very strong. Mm-hmm. But like, I know my like tendency to just kind of float around and, I guess I'm kind of weighing like building like more of a life like on the East Coast or like mm-hmm. Northeast versus, elsewhere. Going somewhere that just interests me.
Yeah. Well, in New York's hard.
New York's hard. I don't think, I really want to live alone, and like, I'm not going to be able to do that on a StoryCorps job. So like, that's not happening.
Yeah. Not in
soon.
New York.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Exactly. Not in New York. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, I've got some good climbing people in New Hampshire. Yeah. I really love this weird community of people into like creative nonfiction that I've found here in New York.
Right.
Or like, it's actually been cool. It's like, 'cause I feel like I've kind of like manifested this like small network of people, and so that feels really cool. But it's great to like be able to tap into that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cool. Like, I feel like most of my life I've just kind of been living in my own head.
And yeah.
Like, I've had friends here and there, but, eventually they get married and I don't go to their wedding or, I don't know. Just like...
Yeah. Weddings are hard.
Weddings are,
expensive.
Or like, I pretend to care that they have kids and stuff. Like, I don't know.
Well, and also they're like, our kids are, we're so tired. We can't pretend to care what Patrick's doing.
Exactly. Like, exactly. Yeah. It's not like, it's not in any sort of malicious way.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like, you pick a lane and like the relatability, changes. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. Taking arms against the sea of trouble. Yeah. I don't know. Are you tight with people from New York still?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But again, that circle has also gotten mm-hmm. smaller, Like, that first job I described, because we were a bunch of, like, new professionals and mostly artists or, like, associated with the arts because it was, like, night jobs. So a lot of people had their days free to audition or whatever they were doing.
Right.
You know, we'd go out and party. And now most of those are, like, parasocial, like, relationships on the internet, which is fine because I like to see what they're up to. But it's not like I call them up and I'm like, hey, let's go, get paps and a shot like mm-hmm. we used to do,
like PBR?
Yeah. Like when we were 26 or whatever.
Yeah. Paps is underrated.
I like a PBR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really drink anymore, but like
I don't drink that much either.
Yeah, but like there's a soft spot in my heart. I feel like it had a real run in like 2010s.
Oh, yeah. That's the time I'm talking about. Yeah. That's right. The
exactly.
time I'm talking about. Yeah.
I remember I played a show that was like in a Unitarian church
mm-hmm.
and it was like sponsored by them and they just had like a,
yeah, I can get behind Unitarians.
No, it was sponsored by Pops. Yeah.
Really?
The Unitarian Church.
See, yeah. That's why I can get behind you.
Exactly. Yeah. It was a cool show. I definitely miss those like weird, crazy. Mm. No, actually, I don't miss them.
It's exhausting. Yeah. We're too old for that.
Too old. I'm like really, really tired right now. Do you mind just like we like kind of close it out here?
Let's wrap it up.
And we see we got the 5 minute sign. All right.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being part of my community, Patrick.
Likewise, Patty. Yeah. It's been great working together.
This was a fun rambling conversation.
We don't really work together that much, but like we like.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. Like,
I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think our work collaborates with each other, but like we don't necessarily. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There was the. Recordings are a result of our work.
Yeah,
but
we
don't get really that much of a chance to cross paths.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks, Patrick.